my first child, I found completely life-changing. I mean, finding out was amazing, and but I think there's no way you can possibly be prepared for what's involved until it happens. But I was it was it changed me in a great way.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
What's going on, everyone? Art Eddy here for another Art of Fatherhood podcast, and I'm very happy to have Ben Turner. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me. Ben, how you doing, sir?
I'm great, Art. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, looking forward to chat with you, of course, about the new Disney Plus series, Among the Stars. My family and I love it. It's such a great show. Of course, we'll put up links here at Art of Fatherhood for people to check out the show. If you don't have Disney Plus, what are you doing? You're living under a rock. Make sure you get it and pick it up. But we're going to get that in a second, and my love for astronomy and space and all that. And I think this series is just groundbreaking, and I think you see it from so many aspects and so many different perspectives that I think is I haven't seen before in different documentaries. So again, I'm talking a lot about that, but the main reason why I want to bring you on, sir, is to talk about your fatherhood journey. Share with me, when you found out you were going to be a dad, what was going through your mind, sir?
Oh, it was, I mean, it was amazing, unbelievable. The moment of having my first child, I found completely life-changing. I mean, finding out was amazing, and but I think there's no way you can possibly be prepared for what's involved until it happens. But it changed me, and in a great way.
Especially for you, you know, as your kids are grown up, you want to give them all the tools combined with their talent, right? You want to make sure that you're giving them the best teaching and values and all the stuff as they go into this life. So what are some of the things you are looking to teach them as they're growing up?
I think most of all, I want my kids to be able to judge their own success by their own standards. I think that's really important, because I've noticed, and actually I partly had affirmation of this thought through making this series and watching how they work at NASA. But for me, the key to finding some kind of happiness, I mean, it can change on a dime, as we all know, but some kind of peace of mind is to understand what kind of shape of person I am and how I can fit into the world in the right way. And I think that it's important to know, you know, we're constantly kind of bombarded with these images of what success is and what happiness is. And actually, we're all different, and what's going to make us happy and feel successful is very different. So I want my kids to have the confidence to be able to say, that's actually what I want, even if like that doesn't seem like, even if that's a bit unconventional, and to go after it and judge what is sort of successful by their own terms.
I love that for many reasons. I think that is something that I hope parents listening to this instill into their kids, because when I was a kid, if my parents didn't give me money for the ice cream truck and someone got like, you know, firecracker or like a chocolate sundae or something, and I like, that's my fear of missing out. But now, especially with social media and all of these things that our kids' generation is seeing, FOMO is now into the world, that phrase, like fear of missing out. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh my gosh, look what that person's doing. Focus mostly on yourself. Obviously be there for others, but like you said, success. Find what your passion is and don't go into someone else's like dreams and all that. I think, never heard that before in the show, and I think that means a lot, and I think hopefully other parents will use that same as well, man. So I love that.
Thanks, Al.
Now let's kind of flip the script. What is something that your kids have taught you, either about yourself or about life in general, that you'd like to share with me?
Oh, wow. I mean, like, sort of so much. I have a fear of, like, I fear, like, my kids are quite young. I've got my youngest is about to be 4. My oldest is about to be 7. And so far, it's kind of mainly joy. And apart from being very tired, what I'm kind of terrified of is what everyone looks at their parents and finds them embarrassing, and it's really obvious what their flaws are. And I'm just like terrified of what it's going to be with me, with them. What's so obvious that I'm not onto, that I'm not getting, you know, about them. But I it feels quite personal in terms of, I don't know, I sort of, my mind's racing a bit because there's so much to say about it.
Yeah.
On the one hand, you see your faults just like magnified, right? Like I sort of, as a kid, had quite a bad temper, and I learned through my creativity to get a handle on it and express myself in a way that helped me through it. And now I'm sort of exhausted sometimes and I snap at them, and it teaches me that I'm not over those. You never really conquer the things They just lie dormant until you're exhausted. But
spot on. Yes, I agree.
But I also sort of feel what I was saying before, when the kids came along, I had spent a lot of my life, especially my teenage years, with searching for meaning, and you want something elevated and you want to be really unique. And the process of having my kids made me just happy to be a man, a human being, a person in this world, and grateful for where I am, and understand, like, that was a miracle. When I saw my childhood born, that was a miracle. Out of my wife's vagina came something, and I saw the opposite of death, you know, and it was just like totally mind-blowing. No, like, parting of the Red Sea or like burning bush could stand up to seeing that. And it answered a lot of questions for me and settled me down a lot. And I suppose taught me a fundamental sort of truth about my place in the universe, and brought me a lot of peace. And very little sleep. So like, it's made me more peaceful and less peaceful at the same time.
You nailed parenthood in like that line right there. Yes. So spot. Okay. So my daughters are 11 and 13, right? And we have a great relationship, I want to say, and they feel the same way. Like, actually, some of my daughters have written on my site and stuff. We've kind of like bonded over pop culture and stuff. But here's the thing. Don't worry about your flaws. Roll into it, man. Just go like full bore into it. If like you're like a bad dancer, embarrass the heck out of them when you're at a party with them. They'll be like, oh man, but they know that you're there and you're caring. So that's all that matters.
I think that's right.
So I just gave you a small piece of advice because my kids are a little bit older. Talk to parents like and dads who just found out they were going to be a dad or a new dad. One big piece of advice you'd like to offer to them.
For the birth or for like the early years?
Or just anything. Or I was actually speaking with a recent guest about like a dad hack, like something that maybe you found that like works. You're like, man, I should like patent this because this is such a good idea. Like whether a piece of advice or just like a dad hack that you'd like to share.
I had a great dad hack that I had when my first child was born. In the labor, I was like useless. I mean, worse than you. Actually, in the UK, we have what they like gas and air, like knives. I was just trying to get on the gas and air, like, and she wasn't giving it up, and we ended up having a bit of an argument, but it wasn't edifying at all. But we did a bit of research for the second time around, and my wife found something that was basically the contractions only take a minute, apparently. It's just there's a lot of them, and they come like real fast. So the hack that we did for the birth was she gave me a stopwatch. So I would time the contractions, which meant that I was like connected and involved and in some way useless. You can kind of tolerate anything for a minute. So by the time, so if you're like, dude, you're 15 seconds in, you're half a minute in, you're timing it, it's for you, 20 to go, like almost like a coach in a sports thing. I was like, we were like connected, and I actually helped her, and I felt like I was involved in it. And that was that's a very practical hack that worked well for me.
Ben, you're dropping so much good knowledge on here because again, like, so let's just say someone's like I've had people say like, hey, you know, I've told people to check out your podcast because they just found out they're going to be a dad. Great. So that's another great hack right there. Like, because the guys always feel we're useless in the room. But like, if they're like, hey, let's count out these contractions and stuff. That's a great way to help them out.
Can you get a headband, get in the coach's thing on a whistle and count that thing out, man.
That's fantastic. Love it. Another thing I love is space and exploration and just astronomy. I loved it as a kid. Always wanted to be, you know, an astronaut. That was one of my like dreams as a kid. And I remember one of the things that stuck with me was in elementary school, our school, which of course I'm glad they did, made a big deal of the Challenger launch. And I remember just all the, like, oh, we're going to watch this and this is amazing. And unfortunately, there was a tragedy, but like my love for space and obviously the respect I have for everybody that was in that space shuttle is huge. But just I still have that passion. I'm a big Star Wars fan, Star Trek, all that good stuff, just because of like the exploration of. And I think I've watched documentaries, I've watched movies, of course, that deal with space. But the work that you and your team did Among the Stars was great. I'm watching this thing and it's like not just from one perspective, but many perspectives. And I love the fact that you're bringing this in and showing everybody what it takes to go, especially into space and everything that goes into it in such a unique way. Talk about how you guys kind of formulated this, because you're dealing with stuff that's on Earth, but then also in space. So you've done a lot of projects. I know you're a veteran at this, but talk about how you tackled this project, sir. Among the Stars is amazing. Just talk about how you did this.
Well, that's very kind. Thank you. We made quite a lot of sports documentaries in the past, and they once sort of the streamers got going, sports documentary series became quite a big thing. And they work really nicely because every week, all of your characters win or lose in a very binary fashion and the drama comes to a head. So it's a great template. And we made a couple of those. We made a series called Sunderland Till I Die, which if anyone's interested in soccer, the Sunderland are the soccer team that I love. They're like, if you imagine they're like the Cleveland Browns, but there's no draft to give them hope. Like, actually, they're quite good now, but like in, you know, the traditional like legacy, the Cleveland Browns, no draft, just a disaster, right? So we made the series with them. And at the end of it, we were like, this is amazing, but like, surely this method of storytelling could come out of the world of sport and we could put it into another team. Like, because after all, in the sports teams, if it's fascinating to watch people, in our case, kicking a ball around or throwing a ball around, surely going into space, you know, if you can understand it, is going to be like exponentially more unbelievable, right? So then I really started like hammering on trying to get into NASA. Now, I'd made a music video in NASA for a little known band called One Direction a few years ago.
Small band, little
indie, couple of indie kids I came across, because we'd done a lot of work with them, and we got to a point where like they were so famous and they got so big that we were like, they can open any door for us. So we were like, well, the door has got to be NASA. Right. And so they came to us with a song, Drag Me Down. I was like, Drag Me Down. That's the opposite of launching into space. Let's do that. And NASA went for it. It was amazing. And that's what I first.
Well done.
And from then, I'm just like pitching endlessly to anyone I meet. I want to do this. I want to do this in space. One of my partners is James Corden. James is doing the voice of Peter Rabbit. He's on set of Peter Rabbit. And he's talking to the director, Will Gluck, Peter Rabbit. And Will says, I've just met this astronaut. He's super cool, ex-Navy SEAL. He's unbelievable. He's doing this unbelievable mission. I think he might be open to making a doc. And James is like, you got to speak to Ben. You have to speak to Ben. He like picks up because he's basically sick of me saying about I want to go to space. And he so I met Chris and when I went in there and we started pitching the show. But the approach to it was space documentaries tend to be very sciencey, which I love, or like romanticizing the Apollo era or talking about like the shuttle also, which I love. I feel like I've probably watched every one of them twice, but they've never done it in this sports documentary way. So we went in with Chris and we worked in one of our mantras became that all astronauts say they're just the tip of the iceberg. And we were going to make a show about the iceberg. Right, because that's where the drama is. There's a bunch of people in NASA in all these rooms, and each one of them is like, if I don't get this done by Wednesday, we're screwed. It's a disaster. There's a $2 million thing riding on it. And if I can't get this part to fit, we're all done. And that's happening all the time, all over the place. So we went in and we met the people on the team. And instead of working top down, we went ground up. And when you knock on the doors of these people, the engineers, they're like, no one ever knocks on their door. So they're like, sure, they're like as geeky, they're nerds like we are. If you say to them, what's that? They're like, you interested? I'm like fascinated. I'm not interested, I'm fascinated. And I was. And they would just explain everything. And slowly but surely we met people in all these different rooms and they got on board. And so we had this real groundswell of support so that when big events happened, everyone knew us. They were happy. They would tell us, they were like, dude, Wednesday's going to be carnage. You've got to come along. You know what I mean? And so that's how we put it together, slowly but surely, built it up until in episode four, we had a crew in Houston. We were in some of the back rooms that people have never been in before. They let us mount cameras there. We had a crew at CERN in Geneva. We had a crew in Japan because Chris was out there. And we had a crew in space. And I was just like, I just cannot believe what's happening. It was the most expansive moment of my life. And about 3 weeks later, I was in lockdown in my house in Camden Town in London. What the hell just happened? Yeah. But it was an amazing process. And it was with that thing of follow the drama from the perspective of the people involved and tell it tell it like the rules of fiction, you know, like you, like Star Wars is like, well, I fell in love with this thing, you know, watching all those films and Star Wars and Star Trek. And one of the things that's been so amazing about this is It hasn't happened to me yet. But apparently, if you watch Star Wars on Disney Plus and you get to the end of them, depending on the algorithm, it might say, if you like that, you're going to like this. I'm on this call like being, yeah, I know that'd be really good. Yeah. And inside there's this 8-year-old child weeping with joy of just being associated with it. You know, not even having a link. So yeah, that's a very long answer to your question.
This was perfect because again, like it was a kid at Christmas, just being like watching this series and just being like you said, like you got everybody. And I think it was such a smart way of looking at things. Cause again, I'm into sports too, like football. You guys might call it hand egg over there.
Oh no, I love the NFL. I'm a big Steelers fan.
Nice. But I'm just saying like just everything you guys were bringing to it was crazy. And just really interesting, and like I love the fact that you're like, hey, let's bring in everybody, and everyone's like, wait, you really want to talk to me? Yes, I do. My question is too, is like, of course, you have more knowledge about this than I do when you're creating documentaries and filming and all this other stuff. Ground is one thing, maybe doing something up in the air is another thing. You're in, like, how do you even coordinate something with your crew in space? Like, talk about that, man, because I find that so, like I'm watching this, I'm like, how are they doing this? Because there's some like. Some tension, there's some beautiful breathtaking scenes, but then there's like some like obviously things where people kind of get into, you know, trouble and all this other stuff, like how do you do that, like, and still like we're in space, you got like, you does your crew like knock it out, like forget like that we're in space, like how does that all work when you have a crew in space?
Well, it was nuts. I mean, we didn't, I begged them to go, obviously begged them to go, and they I'm like, you need a director. The bloody Russians have sent up a director about 3 weeks ago. So I was right. But I'm desperate to get out there. But the thing I was worried most, exactly that, is how are we going to film it in space when we can't actually send, we don't have really control over what's going on there. What I had not anticipated or hadn't realized really was, I mean, it's obvious, but if an astronaut says he's going to do something, he does it, and he does it well, and he goes the because you know, a lot of the sports stars, God bless them, when I've worked with them, they're not great at turning up on time. They, you know, they'll try and get out of there early. They don't do what they say they're going to do. They'll do it for coach, but you know, when you're like, can I film something? They're not that easy. But these astronauts, they say they'll do it, it gets done. And we spoke to Chris a lot about beforehand, and I didn't really, and Luca and Drew, who I hadn't had that much contact with, but Chris explained to them what we were doing. And they really took those cameras up there and they really took it on board. They were filming, you know, filming the action. When they went out on their spacewalks, they took a GoPro with them. So that, and that GoPro is on a tether, right? It's just hanging off. So like 85% of it's garbage. Like 50% of it's just, you know, their suit. And then, you know, a lot of it's just like an armpit or like someone's glove. And then suddenly that thing just like floats around and you're like, holy crap. It's the world. It's a, you know what I mean? It's just the most mind-blowing thing you've ever seen. And then they've got their things on their helmets, but it was their buy-in to document their time up there that made all the difference. And what was unbelievable to me was once Chris was up there, he would call me. I'm in lockdown in Camden Town and in my house. I can't leave the house. I'm feeling like incredibly hemmed in. And I get a phone. I remember the first time I did it, my phone goes, there's a number from Houston. I'm like, oh God, what's this going to be? I answer the phone and it's like, I'm like, hello? Okay, he's like, Ben? I'm like, yeah, he goes, it's space. Space? I'm like, space? Is that you, Chris? And it was Chris, and he called me, and he's like, and he says, how are you doing? And I'm like, I'm fine. How are you doing, dude?
Yeah,
I'm good. And he would call me and chat about what he was doing and like what he was filming and how to film it. It was unbelievable. And then he'd go and do an interview, he'd go and talk to camera afterwards, and we planned like and he'd speak to my DOP as well. And I was very jealous because they figured out to speak to each other when Chris was passing over the top of him on the ISS. So he went out in the garden and filmed him going over. It's like bonkers. But, you know, doing things like turning the lights off on the ISS and making it look a little bit different. So, but he was incredibly generous with it, with his time. And Luca and Drew as well, they were just very dedicated to help him make the show. And I think, you know, you can tell from, because we wanted it to be messy, right? Most people, when they film space, it's perfect because it's millions of dollars to create and like zero gravity, or you've worked so hard to get in there. We were in for a long time and I wanted it to have a verite feel to it. So that like, you see the camera drifting, you like keep it like, so it's messy. So you feel like you're up there with them. And you know, I hope it makes a difference. I think it makes a difference. I think it works.
Oh, for sure. And just hearing the passion that you have and just like watching this, I'm like, this is something that this is a project of love for everybody. People that's on the production side, people that are in it, people that are, you know, doing the different editing and all that stuff. You could tell like everybody really cares about this. And I think you turn back into a kid when you think about exploring space and space station and all that other stuff. And one of the things I like watching with this show, like Disney Plus is great with all these great documentaries on Nat Geo and all that good stuff, is because like these are conversations after you're done watching like an episode, you talk with your family about like, could you imagine us being up there? Can you imagine like what he or she had to do while that stuff was going on? And like, this is something where it's not like a movie because you can put in like the green screen or a blue screen. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, we'll just create, like you're creating the stuff right there. And I think it's such a great talking point because it is science. It is STEM, all of these things. Mm-hmm. That's why it's great for families.
Yeah.
And I love hearing the passion for you. You know, I was kind of talking about like, for me, like what got me into space and all stuff for you. I know this is a passion project because you were like, I want to get a NASA. I want to do this. Like, what got you into space? Like, was there a book? Was there a class? Was there a teacher? Was it a movie? Whatever the case may be, share like your love about how, you know, the passion ignited for space and astronomy.
I think that like, it's interesting. I feel like it's always been there with me. There's a couple of photos of me by like a kind of weird thing I had as a kid. It was like a kind of space shuttle with pedals on it. So it was kind of like a bicycle space shuttle. And I feel like I've always sort of loved it. I mean, Star Wars is massive for all of us. You know, it's so amazing to kind of envisage all that stuff. I think just the wonder of like how vast space is and how little we know about it and how small we are in compared to the how much more of that there is than this, you know, is just mind blowing. I think there was a phase about 10 or 15 years ago. There was a great documentary called In the Shadow of the Moon, which I loved. And there was a book around the same time. I can't remember if it was called the same thing, which was also about all the Apollo astronauts. Moondust, it was called. It was a book called Moondust, which was amazing. Okay. About like what it was like for the Apollo astronauts to come back after all of that they'd been through. And that definitely kind of reinvigorated it. I'd had this kind of low level and always been interested in it. That kind of bolstered up. And it was just at a time really where I was having this realization about my career that I'd started off like, you know, really thinking about basically going to film festivals and people telling me I'm amazing as a filmmaker. In a sort of asteroid there. But then I realized through who I am and what I can do, that really my path was as mainly, I've done lots of other stuff as well, but mainly as a storyteller who can has the privilege of looking at the world through the perspective of very interesting people. And for me, I want to tell stories about things that I find amazing. And I can't, and I realize I could tell stories about things I found amazing. And I could go to amazing places and do it. And when that connected with this space thing, I was just like, it sort of felt like a mission. Because it was partly an affirmative thing for myself that like, what I find interesting, I can make interesting for other people, you know? And like, actually, the more passionate I am about it, I don't have to hide that away and pretend. Embrace it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And really get into that. And so with that license a little bit, if I wasn't like enough into like the things I was into, that made me much worse for the people around me. Because I'm delighted to be on here talking to you. My wife cannot stand hearing me talk about this stuff anymore. I never stop. And my brother, who I work with, they all laugh at me. Like they you know, my wife and my brother have a joke. As soon as I start, they go, oh, is it you making a documentary about space? None of us knew that. And I kept falling for it. I'd be like, no. And then, you know. So everyone's kind of sick of it, but on a professional level, it's worked for me, you know, and it made that passion bigger and worse.
See, this is why I could tell, like, again, I see the passion just hearing from it from you. But before we even had a chance to chat, this was like just a big hug for space, like, and just your appreciation and your love for space, and like you see it through, like. This Among the Stars is just top to bottom, very like intertwined with like everybody sharing their story about how, the astronaut, like you said, might be the tip of the iceberg and like get the glory, but like everything that takes place, and everybody's yeah. like proper, you know, like you have to be at a certain position to like, you're doing this yeah. to get in there. Like just the training, like going underwater, like and just like, you know, getting the weightlessness and like them trying to like, this is how it's going to work. This is going to be the kind of the environment. You guys thought of everything. I think the only thing I have a question is before we finish off with the Fatherhood Quick Five is when you're done wrapping up and everything is done, did you start plotting like, all right, if we make a second edition, I'm going into space. Like, how am I getting this space? Is that what you're thinking?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The whole point of this is to get me up into space. That's like that's like, and I'm hopefully meeting the people who can make that happen for me. And as soon, you know, and it's coming along, the commercial stuff's coming. And as soon as I can go, I'm in a heartbeat.
Yeah, no doubt. Another question I want to ask you, is there any cool fun facts about you interacting with the astronauts you'd like to share with me?
Yeah, absolutely. I was very lucky that Chris, before he went up to the station, said to me, I can take something really small for you if you like to, which is an unbelievably kind offer. And we gave him one of my kids' little space toys. He's got a little spaceman, you know, this is about as big as a thumbnail.
Yeah.
And we whipped it out of his toy set. And he was like, you can't give it to me. And I'm like, trust me, dude, give me the toy, because it's going to come back. It's going to go to space. It's going to be the first Turner in space, and it'll come back. And my kid finally accepted it. He wasn't that happy. But now it's back. He's, you know, he's pretty made up about it. But it was quite amazing that, like, one of our toys went up to space. I guess it hopefully makes him feel that anything is possible.
Oh, great. That is, it's the symbolism in that, like you said, like, anything is possible. And he's got something that was in outer space, like you said, the first Turner. Love it. Now we're going to finish off with the Fatherhood Quick Five. Favorite family movie? Do you guys have one right now?
Well, I love all the Muppets ones. We watch the Muppets ones a lot. The Muppet Christmas Carol is particularly stands out for me, but most of those Muppet movies I love.
Love it. Favorite family song, or is there an artist you can't wait to introduce your kids to when they get to a certain age to appreciate that music?
Oh, God, there's lots and lots of it. But we're quite into Bob Marley at the moment. And in fact, one of my kids in kindergarten, they were talking about music they like. And he said Bob Marley, and they said, well, do you know where that music comes from? And he went, yeah, my daddy's car.
Love, like, yeah. The mind of a child is beautiful. I love it. Yeah. Nice. Describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
I mean, the perfect family vacation would be space. We talk about going up there all the time. And it was gonna. And I tell my boys it's going to happen. I may not be there, because it may not happen in time, but to go to space with them would be unbelievable. In the meantime, skiing would be nice.
Nice. I think I know this answer from our conversation, but favorite science fiction book or movie for you is?
Oh, that's great. I mean, the original Star Wars was so profound, but I was reading the Foundation trilogy recently, and the books are really good. I mean, like, I've only just started watching the series, so I don't know how that's going to pan out, but the books are unbelievable. They're the Asimov books.
Nice. And lastly, top three words you hope your kids would use to describe you as a dad, what would they be?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. I hope they think I'm kind, honest, and fair.
Great three words right there. Great three words. People, make sure you check out Among the Stars on Disney Plus, Nat Geo, and of course, Ben and his team did a fantastic job. Like, it's such a great thing to watch with the family. Follow him on Twitter at Big Bo Turner. And again, I appreciate you chatting with me. All I got to say is, if you do get into space, we got to do a podcast from space. We got to do a live thing. And like, I can talk to you. And
absolutely.
You are the executive producer and the director of Among the Stars. You did such a great job. And I know you're a busy guy, but thank you for your time. And I wish you and your family continued success, sir.
My pleasure. Thank you so much. It was really lovely to chat up.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to artoffatherhood.net.